Hi, this is director Philip Noyce, and Salt is the 15th feature film that I've directed since the $25,000 Aussie road movie Backroads in 1977. Well, where did it all begin for me on Salt? It began not with reading the script, not back in 1977, but way back in 1944. Because that was when my father was lining up with 1,000 Australian troops on a dock in Brisbane on the east coast of Australia, waiting to board a troop ship that would carry him back to the Second World War, back to fighting the Japanese up in Borneo. He'd already fought against the Germans in North Africa and against the Japanese in New Guinea, and now he was about 700 in a line of 800 troops as, well, a spy. I won't tell you which one of the extras who's accompanying Angelina and Liev Shriver's characters back in this prisoner exchange is the one I'm talking about, but one of those guys, Ato, that he had worked as a border guard between North and South Korea and that he'd supervised or participated in many prisoner exchanges like the one that we were about to film. So instantly, he became our on-set advisor on how to choreograph the prisoner exchange. By the way, the scene that you saw there of the prisoner exchange was shot at the Floyd Bennett Field. That's a very famous airfield that's now used to run New York Police Department helicopters, but it was built back in 1928 and was the site of many takeoffs by famous aviators, including Amelia Earhart. Being right on the Atlantic Sea, of course, it was an appropriate takeoff point for attempts to cross the Atlantic to England and Ireland back in the early 30s.
Bert likes my cooking.
Back to our story of my father. So after the Second World War, Dad became a lawyer in the town of Griffith in southwestern New South Wales. But now in civilian life, like many soldiers of that era at least, he never stopped retelling the stories of his war experience to his three sons. And inspired by my dad, to amuse myself after school, I'd try a bit of spying myself. I'd choose a mark from some stranger on the town's main street, and then, clandestinely, I'd follow them for hours wherever they took me, waiting for them to reveal their secrets. And any Australians listening to this commentary will know that a few people in the town of Griffith back then had an awful lot to hide. Anyway, when I came to America as a young film director in the early 1990s, the scripts that I just seemed to gravitate towards were the ones involving spy stories.
I'm surprised he didn't call you Your Majesty.
First, there was Patriot Games with Harrison Ford. Then there was Sliver with Sharon Stone, in which Billy Baldwin played a cross between, well, a voyeur and a spy, in as much as he placed secret video cameras in hundreds of apartment rooms in a New York City building. And then after Sliver, there was another Tom Clancy adaptation, also starring Harrison Ford as a CIA analyst in Clear and Present Danger. And then a film that has so many weird similarities to Salt, The Saint. Similar in as much as the central character is, like Salt, brought up in an orphanage, and then goes on to live a life of multiple identities and disguises as he falls in love with a scientist who has been kidnapped by unscrupulous Russians. Could be a description of Salt, no? And next it was The Quiet American, in which Brendan Fraser played a wide-eyed CIA operative called Alden Pyle, who works undercover as an aid worker in Vietnam. It seemed that my dad's stories were having a remarkable influence on the projects I was drawn to. After completing The Thrill of the Bone Collector in 1999, I decided to take a break from mainstream Hollywood movie making and I went back to Australia, where over the next 8 years I made three independent films. But during my time back there, I kept an office back in Hollywood, kept one foot in the mainstream. And that's where my assistant, Beatrice, first read Kurt Wimmer's screenplay for Salt. She'd read many other scripts over the four-year period that she worked for me, but none were passed on with any enthusiasm. Then suddenly, in April 2007, I received a highly unusual email. Beatrice had found a script that she actually liked. Well, not liked, she loved. And fueled by my dad's tales of undercover warfare, I found the idea of a film about a Russian sleeper spy cell utterly irresistible. My dad had always said that the human being was the ultimate weapon. And over the years, I'd looked at many manuscripts dealing with sleeper spies, but none that I found compelling. And now I found one that seemed totally compelling. Think about it. An agent for the CIA is accused of being a Russian mole. His attempts to prove his innocence take the audience on a ride that also proves his guilt. It seemed to me that here was a totally unusual concept for a movie. The hero is also the villain. But if you're listening to this commentary, you've probably already seen the movie and you know that the hero is a heroine. It's Evelyn A. Salt, played by Angelina Jolie. But when I read the script back in 2007, there was no Evelyn because the script was called Edwin A. Salt. And it was the story of a male CIA operative who was married to a Russian woman. And he went through more or less the same journey that we see Evelyn A. Salt go through in the Finnish film. But it was a man's story. And so many of the scenes were completely different, even though the overall journey was very similar.
She will be again when things have been set back on the correct path.
I have some.
In 2008, I was called back again to come in and meet with Amy Pascal, head of Sony Pictures, and Matt Tolmach, head of production at Sony. And we continued a conversation we'd started a year earlier. But now they were determined not to just seek out which director might bring this film to the screen, but they actually wanted to make it. They had a start date. And so we set out to try and find a male actor to play Edwin A. Salt. And we spoke to a lot of people, but we couldn't get the right level with the right number A beside his name to sign on. And that's when Amy made the completely outrageous suggestion that we should send Edwin A. Salt to Angelina Jolie. That maybe the solution to not being able to find the right man was to give Edwin a sex change and turn him into a woman. Amy had spoken over the years to Angelina about the prospect of Angie making a sort of female James Bond movie. And so she sent the script with a note saying, "Here's your James Bond." And Angelina, who was just recovering from the birth of her twin babies, read the script and was intrigued enough to invite Kurt Wimmer, the screenwriter, Lorenzo de Bonaventura, the producer, and myself to the south of France, where she was staying at the time. And we spent a week discussing what the new movie, with Evelyn Salt, what that movie might be like, and we laid down a few ground rules. Well, the first thing that that Angelina said was she doesn't like Salt having a child. In Kurt's original script, the third act was devoted to Edwin saving his young daughter and wife from a coalition of bad guys. And Angie said that she didn't agree with the kid, because she didn't feel that a person like Evelyn Salt would have a child and put that child in jeopardy, given that she was working as a clandestine operative for the American government. So that was the first thing that we agreed on, that we'd jettison the child. That wasn't the only thing we discussed during that week, but at the end of the week, Angelina